Well, I want to address something again that, and we'll see how this goes and how long and how far. I know this is for tonight. I pray and I say, Lord, what do we do on Wednesday nights? What would you have us to do, or what should we study? What should we look at? And I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. We are obviously in a war. We know that. We're born again into it, right? We were born physically into it as well. We are certainly facing a foe that is much bigger than we are, independent of Christ, that is. And as you all know, he has had his way too many times in our lives in the past. And he can be very relentless. He's unmerciful. He wants to destroy, as Jesus said. He comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but that sounds a whole lot better than the alternative. And in him is life. So in him we have to abide. And in 1 John 3, verse 8, the second part of that verse, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the title of the message is, The Enemy's Been Defeated. I remember listening to a Michael W. worship album a few years back. I still have it. And in that he says, the enemy's been defeated, right? And so that's where I kind of got to, it just came to me when I was doing this. I said, the enemy's been defeated. And this is very important that we understand this and what that looks like, because this has got to be the starting place for everything we do, is from this understanding. Now, Jesus came to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. And what that means is, it means to untie or unloose something. Jesus came to untie or unloose us, loosen us, basically to liberate, set us free. In Acts 10:38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with dunamis power, who went about doing good and doing what? Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And that word oppressed means to exercise dominion against. So that means that at one time we were actually under the dominion of Satan. We were his slaves. We were his subjects. And we were subject to his will. He could take us captive at his will. But Jesus came to destroy his works. He came to loose us, to unwrap us, basically, and let us go free. So when we were sinners, all of us by nature, we were born into this. We were all under Satan's dominion. So it was natural for us to live in sin because we were all sold under it. And Jesus said in John 8 in verse 34, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So anybody commit any sins today that you know of? Maybe a little one somewhere along the line? How many of you think that that means that you're a slave to sin because you made a mistake today? Or you had a stray thought or something that didn't go right at work, or something happened, or you had a bad thought? Now, that's not what he's talking. He's not talking about those of us who have been regenerated. He's talking about identity. He's talking about those who are still slaves to Satan, amen, to sin, to the sin nature. And so those who practice sin or live in that place of being a slave to sin, you know, are basically owned by Satan, and therefore you're just going to do what you do naturally. But he says Jesus came to change all that. And then in verse 31 of John 8, he says to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and what? We all know that so well. And the truth shall make you free. And they answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, this is the natural man's understanding. You see, naturally, we don't think we're in bondage. As a matter of fact, what we used to call liberty was only putting us deeper and deeper into bondage, wasn't it? Be free. Do whatever you want. Do whatever feels good, right? I'm free. I'm not in bondage to anyone. That's the natural man thinking. And they were thinking in carnal terms of, well, we're children, you know, biologically of Abraham. And that means that we're, you know, we're children of God's blessings, you know, as the Israelites, the true Israelites, or they thought they were true Israelites. And yet the Bible tells us that the true Israelite is not one who is one outwardly, but one who is inwardly. And the circumcision, true circumcision, is where? Of the heart. So we are to be set apart and circumcised unto the Lord. And then we become, as Gentiles, adopted in, amen, to the family. And Abraham, of course, was the father of faith. He believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he's the example that we follow, is those people who, through faith and patience, had inherited the promises. And, of course, we can always look at Hebrews 11 and look at all those that are listed there and throughout the Old Testament, the stories of those who had gone before, who have lived a life of faith, had believed God and received the promises of God. And some that didn't receive those promises in their lifetime, but they were looking forward to a time when, because by faith they lived, knowing that whatever I do unto the Lord in obedience to Him, even though I may not see instant results, someday I'm going to receive what I have sown. Whether I see it in this world or not, it's still, amen, the word does not return void. And God is not going to forget your labor of love and what you've done for Him. He doesn't forget those things. And that's your reasonable act, you know, to offer your bodies back to Him, to serve Him, to love Him back, to serve Him with all your days. And so He said, most assuredly, verse 34, I say to you, Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What He's talking about? He's talking about unloosing you, right? Letting you go free. And because Jesus wants people free, we should also desire to see people set free. Because that's His desire. We should not only desire to see others free, but we should desire to be free ourselves if we're not. That's God's desire, is that we be set free from the bondage, from the power of sin. And thank God that was broken at the cross. The cross is a victory. And I want to talk about that in a little bit here. Now, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we need to see that from an understanding of what Jesus has already accomplished for us, not what we can accomplish for Him. So often we base our merit on what we do for Him or our value, you know. But Jesus was the one that first gave, first loved, first, you know, did for us. And He's the one that went to the cross and paid the ultimate price. And He was the only one that could be the sacrifice for our sins, the only one that could set us free. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't set ourselves free. So He did it for us. He went in our place. He paid the price, that, as you know, that we deserve to pay. And so we need to understand that when we are engaging in a battle, a spiritual battle, we know there are unseen forces all around us that are constantly trying to get a hold of our minds and mess with us and get into our lives and mess us up. And we're constantly being opposed from the left and from the right. That we need to understand something, that Jesus has already accomplished this victory for us in the cross and resurrection. It's not what we have accomplished, but what He's done. So this victory over sin and over Satan and over even our flesh was accomplished at the cross. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And that word disarmed refers to the act of stripping one's garments off to the point of complete nakedness. So Jesus literally stripped Satan of his panoply, of his armor. He stripped him and then triumphed in the victory with a celebration. There was a party. Now, I would like to be at that party, but guess what? We've already entered into it. The party is going on right now. There's a celebration. A celebration of what Jesus has done. What He has accomplished on our behalf. That's why we should rejoice in the Lord always. I want to ask you this, and I was thinking about this today. How many here rejoice in the Lord always? Don't put your hand up. How many want to rejoice in the Lord always? Okay, good. We're working on it, right? But it has to do with perspective. It has to do with an understanding of what has actually taken place on our behalf and the liberty that is ours in Christ, that we're no longer slaves to sin or slaves to fear, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are no longer, amen, a slave to that dude, to that wicked dude. You know, God has set us free already. In Christ, we're free. The key is to be born again, to be in Christ indeed. Not to just put a patch job on your life and improve your life, but to be transformed, amen, through regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again. And when you're born again, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. And that identity we are to operate from the place of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. He's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, and what? In the cross. There's a grand celebration over his victory. And really, that triumph is kind of like a general or an emperor who has just won a great battle, and now he's in the procession, the great parade, as he's returning to his hometown, and there's this great celebration, there's this great parade as he triumphs in the victory over his foes. That's exactly what that's talking about. Jesus triumphed over the devil. And there's a celebration, hallelujah, and praise be to God for his indescribable gift and what Christ has done for us. And worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and blessing and praise. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our confidence has got to be in what is true. Our confidence has got to be in this fact that Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ. And if we're in Christ, if we're in Him, then we are free in Him. We're not kind of half in and half out. Either you're in Christ or you're not. If you're in Christ, then you are actually a free person. You can now run this race with endurance as you're putting your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. As we're looking to Him, we don't have to be bound by sin because Christ has set us free from that. A lot of it has to do with what we believe. What do we believe to be true? Do we believe what God says? Do we believe that report? And do I come into agreement with what God says as being done on my behalf? When a person is saved, it means they came to a saving knowledge of the truth. They understood what Jesus actually accomplished for them, the price that was paid, and the gift of God that was being offered through Christ to us. And my faith in that truth and that reality changes everything in my life. Everything begins to shift into the new reality. My mind is being renewed to agree with what's true now. And the enemy always wants to slam you with what you did in the past and how badly you failed. And he keeps reminding you of that stuff. But you have to be renewed in your mind and say, no, Christ has set me free. I'm not a slave to sin any longer. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. Through Jesus Christ, I have been untied. I've been loosened from the bondage of sin. And Satan, of course, operating in that place of the flesh. Because if we don't have the right perspective about actually what has taken place, we're going to struggle and we're going to be defeated in our minds. If we don't really believe this report about Jesus and his defeat over Satan, amen, how he has defeated Satan, then we're going to struggle and we're going to often be defeated. Why? Because we're going to put ourselves in the place of trying to be good enough all the time. And every time you're doing that, you're taking your eyes off the ability of God and putting it on yourself. And in yourself, there's no good thing. There's no ability in you to live holy. It's by the power of God that we can be holy. It's by the grace or the ability that God supplies that we can overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. It's not in me. It's not of me. It's of Him. And it's my faith in Him. You see, the just shall live by faith. Faith is believing what God has said, believing what God has accomplished for us already, that Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. He stripped him to the point of nakedness and shame. And Jesus is triumphant. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he has been given the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. In Galatians 6:14, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, God forbid that I should pride myself in any of my accomplishments and how well I've done today. Come on, somebody. I shouldn't boast in my education. You know, my confidence should not be in my own cleverness or my willpower. Some people got a lot of willpower and they can put on a pretty good show for a pretty good time. Amen. But it's all just willpower. It's not the Spirit of God. And eventually willpower will fail you. Why? Because your willpower still is no match for that devil. So our faith has to be in the power of God and not in my own ability to overcome. I overcome when I trust in, abide in, rely upon the overcomer, the greater one who is in me than he that's in the world. In Christ, I have victory already. I am free in him. I just need to continue to enforce that victory that Christ has already accomplished for us. We are enforcers of that. We also now are to go and destroy the works of the devil. If we've been free, now we can go and help others get free by the grace of God. Paul's saying, I don't have any confidence in my education and anything of self. Nothing of myself. His boasting, his confidence was in the cross. Huh? What do you mean by you're boasting in the cross? He's saying, when I die to myself, I walk in victory. When I'm not trusting in self, but I'm trusting in God, I'm walking in the victory of God. You understand? The crucified life is the way up. It's the way to overcoming victory. It's me dying to myself, dying to my way, and giving that over to God and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It's a daily denying myself what I may believe is a right of my own to do whatever I want, whenever, however, and I don't have to acknowledge anybody. I don't have to be under anybody's authority. Guess what? No matter how much we try to escape being under authority, we still are. And God will keep us and keep us accountable to that authority, by the way. That even has to do with the things in the natural. Isn't that right? God has placed authority in our lives. Whether we like it or not, there is authority, and God has ordained it. So what God has to do, folks, is he has to break us. He has to break us because we're stubborn in our natural. Amen? And so the natural man has to be rendered almost to the point of uselessness, because if we put confidence in the self life we cannot walk in the power of God and the ability of God and manifest Christ in the world. There's no such thing, folks, in the Bible that I see where it talks about self-confidence. That is a worldly term. That is humanism. Self-esteem, self-confidence. The Bible says, don't hate yourself, but deny yourself. Disown yourself. I'm under new management now. Jesus is Lord. Before, I was Lord of my own life, but now Jesus is Lord of my life. I relinquish the control to Him. I die daily, Paul said. That means I make the choice to live under the Lordship of the Lord. Amen? Jesus. And I deny myself, that part of me that wants to be independent of God. And the more that you practice doing this, and the more that you are deliberate about denying that old man and saying yes to God, the more your life becomes crucified, to the sense that all of a sudden you're finding that the things that you used to enjoy, you no longer do. You don't care about it anymore. It doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't fill you. You don't find joy in all these things that you used to fill yourself up on in your flesh life, your self life. Now you'll find that the only thing that's satisfying you now is the will of God for you. That is it. That's the sum total, is Christ. What can I do? That's what Paul was saying. For me to live is Christ. Now people will think we're nuts because, oh, you're just extreme. You know, well, no. I've discovered that my life is not in me. My life is in Him. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave Himself for me. So my trust, my leaning upon, my, if you will, I find that I'm like Jacob in a sense. We're like Jacob. God breaks us and to where we always have that reminder, oh yes, as we walk, we're broken people, but Jacob was a new man. Amen? His name was changed, wasn't it? To Israel. Prince with God. God does that to us for a good reason, because He knows that we are stubborn-willed. He knows that that other part of us cannot inherit the kingdom. That other part of us will keep us, amen, from finishing our race with confidence, with joy. So the Lord allows some things in our lives to bring us to a place where we're now saying, God, where else can I go but to You? And I don't have the confidence in myself that I used to. You see, we get confused when we listen to these messages from both sides. One telling us self-esteem, you know, self-righteousness, self-exaltation, you know, self-confidence. No, it's my confidence is in my God, and through my God, I can do all things. Right? I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So, that's why, folks, as believers, to the world, often we're foolish. Because they're living this self-driven, self-motivated, self-centered life. And here's the people that are denying themselves these things that they find pleasure in. And you're finding your fulfillment, your joy, your pleasure in something that's actually superior. They just don't realize it yet. But we have to demonstrate that life by daily being crucified to the self and saying no to self and yes to God. And every time we're saying yes, how's it go? When we say yes to God, we're living. Life is the result. We got to be yes people when it comes to Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen? So Jesus has stripped these principalities and these powers. And I wrote this down too, because, you know, we've got to daily put to death that part of us that wants to be God, basically. The part of us that wants to be God. How many have discovered that there is a war going on? And that there's a war going on internally often. There's a part of us that wants to be God. That is the sin nature. The sin nature rebels against the Lordship of Jesus. And so there's this part of us that wants to be God. That means I want to live independent and I want to do my own thing. But there's this other part of you that knows that life is in the Lord. He is your life. And in that place, when you're walking in that place, you're walking in life and peace. It's called being led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And so God wants us to keep our minds, our affections on things above where Christ is. Amen. Get your eyes off the temporal, but get it on the eternal. Live, if you will, from that place of being united with Christ in heavenly places. Live from that place of the overcoming, amen, life in Christ. So that you're not trying to achieve something that He's already done. You're simply believing and receiving what He's already done. Because we're trying to achieve something that He's already done. We can't achieve what He's already done. As a matter of fact, when it comes to spiritual warfare, you and I are no match for the enemy. I don't care how much willpower we have, we'll get knocked down, beaten up, and dragged out. Amen? If we don't know how to lean on the ability of God, die to self. Because this is what I really want to get to. This is the point I want to say. Is that often when we talk about spiritual warfare, people get into this hype thing about, you know, we're just tackling demons and devils and going out here and casting them out. And, you know, everywhere there's demons. I think most of us have gotten caught up in that. I have at least one time in my life. Where when I was a new Christian, I started reading all these books, and before long, man, I was like devil phobic. You know, it's like there's demons, there's devils everywhere, and you just sneeze, there's got to be a demon in you. You know, come out. You know, but you know, we can get so our mind's so set on those things that all of a sudden we find that the devil's actually having a victory over us because he's got us thinking about him rather than Jesus. We're focusing in the wrong place. Now we know we're in warfare, but this is the key. If we can get a hold of our flesh, if we can control our flesh, and God has given us the ability to do so by His Spirit, if we can control our flesh, the devil cannot touch you. That's it. You choose not to yield your members, amen, any longer to unrighteousness or to sin or to the devil. You have the self-control. You have the power of God in you, the Spirit of God in you. And you can say no to your flesh. If you control your flesh, the devil can't touch you. The only way he can touch us is when we yield our flesh to him. That's sin nature. We listen to the sin nature. The devil's attacks against our lives would not work if our flesh didn't cooperate. So we are to live our lives dead to sin, but alive to God. How many know that so well? Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. How can I do that? Because positionally in Christ, if you're in Christ, then you actually are. But you have to consider that reality. You have to reckon that as a truth for you. If you don't believe it, it won't happen for you. It's like the addict who doesn't believe that they could kick it because they're trusting more in the ability of the drug to dominate them than in the God who's already set them free in Christ. They can just walk away and say no more. It's a matter of truth. What we believe will determine how we live our lives. Isn't that true? The devil can get us to focus on our sin. It will magnify and it'll always dominate us. If he can make it bigger than it really is, if you're dead to it in Christ, then it's no longer something that can control you. But you know, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but what? You're in Christ. You're in grace, right? Grace in Christ. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. This is what we do in verse 12, Romans 6:12. We don't allow sin to have its way in our bodies. That you obeyed. He said, don't obey those lusts. He says in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments or parts of your body of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. As those that are what? Alive from the dead. For sin shall not have dominion over you. So what do we need to do? We need to take control of our minds. We need to take control of our thought life. If our thought life is not agreeing with what is true, it's an illegal thought for us. And if we want to dwell on something that's not true, and we want to just sit there and simmer in that, you know, in that lie, then the devil will have a heyday because he has an entry point. He has a way to get to us. So we have to renew our minds. We have to say, wait a minute, this does not agree with what is true. This does not agree with the Word of God. So why am I entertaining that thought? Take control. You have self-control in the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to do that, to take control of your mind and crucify your flesh. In Colossians 3:5, it says, therefore, this is what we do, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And again, folks, if we would just do this, if we would just say no to the flesh nature, deny it, starve it, as Joyce Meyer said, starve out that part of you. You know, starve your doubts, right, and feed your faith. If we would do that, then the enemy would not have any place where he could touch us. Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. The devil had no place in Jesus. He couldn't touch him. Because he kept himself in the grace of the Father. He continued in the Father every day. He protected himself. He stayed, if you will, armored up. In 1 John 5:18, it says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. It's not saying that you don't trip and fall and make mistakes. It means that you don't live your life in sin any longer. You're no longer a slave to it. You're no longer choosing that path. You've changed allegiances. Amen. You're now under the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And now I obey the Lord and I deny myself any opportunity to sin against my God, because I have the ability to do so in Christ. I've been set free from the power of sin. And the wicked one does not touch him. Wow. In other words, that divine nature within us that God has placed there, you know, it protects us. It keeps us untouched from the wicked one. So all the devil can really do, folks, because Jesus has already stripped him, is he can work now, what, through lies and through deception. If he can convince a child of God that they're not who the Bible says they are, he can convince us not to believe what God has said about us, and we start to listen to the wrong voice, if you will, then he can defeat us in our minds. Even though we actually have been set free and we have the victory to walk as an overcomer in this world, God's given us the ability through Christ to be overcomers. But if he can convince us in our minds that we are not, or that we cannot, well, whatever we believe about ourselves becomes our reality. It's a matter of faith. You're either going to have faith in the lie or faith in the truth. And I want to have faith in what God promises. God has already given me victory. He's promised me victory. It was no different than the Israelites who were supposed to go into the land, remember? God had already promised them the land. But the 12 spies came out, you know, and they came out with an evil report. And he says, oh, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. What was the problem? It was unbelief. It wasn't the ability of God to give them the victory, because God had already promised it to them. And it's no different today. We have to believe what God says, that God says we can do what he told us we can do, and we can live in victory. I believe that. Start convincing yourself about the truth by meditating, thinking on, speaking on, dwelling on what is true. Renew your mind. Wash your mind. Get your mind out of the garbage can. Amen. Get your mind out of the junk and the stuff that you shouldn't be watching or listening to, or even conversations around people. If they've got caustic conversation, don't hang out with them. Amen. But renew your mind. Wash yourself in the Word. And renew your thinking. Get your thinking in agreement with what is true. And whatever you believe will be your reality. That's how we know we have victory. Because now, I believe. When I sing that song, it just makes me happy. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I don't care if it sounds cheesy or not. It's truth, man. And the devil hates it, so let's sing it again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Woo. You understand? Even as we sang that, you see, you're agreeing with what is true. And do you sense the grace of God becoming your reality? It's actually you're being strengthened in the Lord because you're strengthening yourself on the manna of His truth. It's like you're feeding your spirit what is true. Amen. If you're allowing the other stuff, the other thoughts to come in, it's like poisoning your mind. The enemy wants to poison your mind, but God wants to nourish it and bring it into agreement with what is true. The devil doesn't want us to believe that greater is the Christ in us than the devil who's in the world. He wants us to doubt what Jesus has accomplished for us at the cross. And he wants us to doubt who we are in Christ. He doesn't want us to believe we have nothing to fear or worry about. He doesn't want you to believe that you have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. Come on, he's going to hit you and bombard you with all kinds of thoughts and worries and fears and phobias about the future and what's going to happen, the election. We have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about, period. Let not your hearts be troubled, right? Be anxious for nothing. What the devil basically wants us to do is to put our confidence in ourselves and to turn away from Christ. In Philippians 3 and verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus." We worship the Lord in spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. What are we rejoicing in? We're rejoicing in the victory of our Lord. We're rejoicing in the fact that through the cross and His resurrection, He has overcome. He has spoiled principalities and powers. Jesus is Lord, amen, of all. We rejoice in that victory, hallelujah, that Jesus has set me free. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus and, listen, have no confidence in the flesh. Zero confidence in my ability, in the flesh life. The enemy's been defeated. We've been given new life. So we can live victoriously in Him. We're no longer slaves, but we're sons. I'm going to finish with this in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemings, against the lies, against the deception, the mistruths, the things that He throws at us that don't agree with what God says. And if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant, we'll start to entertain the wrong thoughts. And what we believe will determine how we live and what we receive ultimately. James 4:7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submit to God. What? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word submit means to subordinate. It also means to obey. So obey God, then resist the devil. In other words, if you're living as a rebel, you're not listening to the Lord, You're not going to be in a position to resist the devil. Listen to God. Humble yourself under God's hand. Amen. Obey His voice. And then you resist the devil. Why? Because when we disobey the Lord, we're giving the devil access. How can we defeat him when we're in bed with him, right? We've got to resist him. So that means we have to deny anything to do with him. We don't listen to him any longer. We are in subordination to God. We are subordinate to him. We are submitting ourselves. We are obeying the Lord. We're placing ourselves under. We're being subject to his rule in our lives. When we do that, then we can resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Ephesians 4:22, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Throw it off, he says. Don't entertain it. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. How many know that the Spirit and the Word are always in agreement? Amen. So we have been given, praise God, the Word of God and His Spirit. So we can know the things that are freely given unto us, so that we can know that Christ has defeated our enemy, that He has already spoiled principalities and powers, and He has stripped him to the point of nakedness and made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him in the cross. It was a victory. Hallelujah. And there's a celebration of the victory of Jesus Christ in heaven. And you and I, as believers of Jesus, are to enter into that place of rejoicing, of celebrating. Rejoice in the Lord always. Enter into that place of rejoicing, because what you're doing is you are again agreeing with the reality, with the truth of what Jesus has already done. And when you agree with truth, when you agree with what God says and what God has promised, it becomes yours. It becomes your reality. We are changed by it. Is this making sense tonight? Hallelujah. Some of you knew this already, but we need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be reminded we're in a war. And folks, we don't have to get so caught up into the weird, because this is weirdness, man, in the spiritual warfare arena. You know, there's just weirdness. And we just need to simply guard ourselves, guard our hearts, listen to the voice of God, and deny the flesh. If you deny the flesh, the enemy cannot touch you. Amen? That's why he's always trying to entice us to sin, because he knows he can get to us if we yield. So it's not a matter of just going around, because you see, I don't know about you, but I've known a lot of people who have gone around and all they're talking about is going around rebuking the devil and casting demons out. And, you know what I'm talking about? They're always talking about what they're doing, this spiritual warfare. And their whole life revolves around spiritual warfare. But then you look at their character, you look at their personal life, and they're living in sin. They're living in rebellion. They're not living clean lives. And so they're constantly being beat up by the devil, because they're trying to take on the devil that they're basically in bed with. You understand why? We've got to deny the flesh. We've got to say no to sin and yes to God. Because when we're saying yes to God, then we're in the position to exercise authority to destroy the works of the devil. You see, once our obedience is complete, then we're in a position to help somebody else get free. In the areas where God has brought you through in victory, where God has given you, a victory in overcoming, maybe even a substance abuse problem in some cases. People who have been set free from a substance, abuse or an addiction, are then, once they've come into obedience, now they're in a place where they can be an instrument that God will use to help somebody else out. Because they have submitted to God. They've obeyed God, and now they're in a position to resist the devil, and they can even take authority over those devils and somebody else. But even if we do so, we also counsel the person that you need to repent. You need to stop your sinning. Come on, somebody. You got to repent. You know, if we're going to cast the devil out of you, he's going to come back with seven more deadly, amen, unless you start to get into agreement with God. We've seen people that have walked free from an altar before, you know, set free by the power of God, and they go out and they get right back in the same mud again. And then they come in, the next time you see them, they're worse. We've got to repent. That's what people need, is to repent and then submit themselves. Come under God's authority. Say, yes, Lord, from now on, what you say goes. And now I'm in a place where I'm under the umbrella of the security of God. Amen. And now I can take authority in those areas and drive these things out, and they will obey. You see, the devil wants to get us involved in doing things that will put us in a compromised situation. I've had people call me on the phone in the middle of the night, and they've got demons chasing them around the house. And, you know, well, they started engaging in spiritual warfare. They thought they're just going to take on the devil, but they're not living clean lives. And it's because they're not living clean and not obeying God that they're not in a position to deal with those things. So I say, repent. Stop your sinning. Get the garbage out of your house. Get the garbage out of your life. Amen. Start listening to what God tells you to do. And then you'll be in a position where they can't touch you. You know, there's people that are worried about all these witches and these Satanists. They're going to put curses on you, and don't mess with those people. They'll put curses on. They can't touch a child of God. If we're Holy Ghost filled people, amen, armored in God, they can't touch us. Know who you are and keep yourself, amen, unspotted from the world. Don't go there. We're in a war, and so we've got to be faithful to our commander in chief. We've got to be submitted to Jesus. We're in a war, and we've got to be good soldiers, amen? Fight the good fight, and the day will come when we'll enjoy the spoils. See, God is just telling us to enforce what He's already done. That's it. It's already been accomplished. Now we enter into that victory. Hallelujah, by faith. All right, I'm done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have a blessed week. Rest of the week. Come in Sunday all prayed up, ready to go. Amen. We have prayer Friday night. Hope you can come. Let's believe God, amen, for victory. Jesus already paid the price. We just walk in it. Enforce it. Say yes to the Lord. Hallelujah. My soul says yes, Lord. Father, I pray not as I will, but as you will. Father, I pray your kingdom to come and your will to be done in us, in this church, in our community, and in our nation. Heavenly Father, we know that we are in trouble as a nation. But God, you have given us the right as your children to petition you. And Father, we pray for our nation tonight. God, we pray, Sovereign Lord, that you once again will show mercy to America, that you will turn our nation back to you, that you will turn us around. God, we pray that you will send the wind of your Spirit, that you will send an awakening, Lord, throughout this nation. God, let it enter into every township, Lord, every borough, every place, God. We just pray that you once again would move sovereignly across this nation. We pray for an awakening, God, in America again. We pray, Lord God, for a coming together of your people to unite and, Lord, to see your kingdom reign here once again in our nation, God. That even from the highest echelons of government, Lord, you will come and you will rule from those places, God. We know the day is coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. The day is coming, Lord, when you shall rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, in the meantime, we have but a window of opportunity. We're asking for time. We're asking for mercy, God, that we might be about your business and destroy the works of the devil and other people's lies and invite them to come to follow you, Jesus. We know the day is coming, Lord. The night is coming when no man shall work. And we know, Lord, the day will come when the door will be closed, forever closed. And God, we're asking today for mercy and for grace, Lord, for America. We pray, Lord, for these elections coming up, that God, you would move in that entire election process. We're asking for your divine intervention, God, that the man or woman that you have chosen, Lord, will ascend the throne of this nation, God. We think we know what is right, but God, we want what you know is right. And we say, your will be done, Father God. And we know that you have promised to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. We believe you, Lord, and we ask you, God, once again, to guide and direct the steps of each one of us, Lord. As we leave this place, God, I pray that your perfect shalom, your peace, will envelop and guard our hearts and our minds. And remind us, Lord, of these things that we've heard tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll seal every word into the hearts of all of us here with understanding. That, Lord, in the time when we need, you will bring it to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.